Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to read two verses together. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, because I've just read two verses this morning, I wanted to just give a bit more context, because of course, you never just get verses in ones or twos given to you, you get the whole context. So, Peter is writing a letter to some Christians, and Christians scattered in various places. And these are Christians who are being persecuted just because they're called Christians. Just because they take the name Christian on them, they're being persecuted. And so Peter wants to encourage them that their suffering isn't going to be forever, that it is temporary, and that Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to reward them. And he also wants to encourage them to then just keep living a Christian life in the midst of that, to keep living such good lives that people wouldn't really be able to nail them for anything bad, so that they don't end up suffering for criminal activities, but they just suffer for being a Christian. So that's kind of the broad gist of this letter. And then in our chapter, there's kind of this little section that starts in verse 7, and it's really connected here. And so what Peter does again, so he's talking about Jesus coming a lot. So here he says again, he says, the end of all things is near. And he says, therefore. So he gives like four different things we should do given that the end of all things is near. So he says, the end of all things is near, so be alert and discipline yourselves for the sake of prayer. The end is near, so above all, keep loving one another consistently, fervently. The end is near, so show hospitality to one another without complaining. And finally, our exhortation this morning, the end is near, so each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as good stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I don't know how near the end is today, but I know that if it was near for Peter, then it's got to be near for us, right? And I know, too, that the response to the fact that the end is near is the same as it was for Peter's readers. It's to be serious about living our lives in a Christian way, to be serious about prayer, about loving one another consistently, about showing hospitality without grumbling, and about what we're going to talk about stewarding the gifts God has given us faithfully. So Peter, again, I said, like those passages I read before with Paul, he uses the picture of a body. So Peter uses a different picture here. He uses the picture of stewardship. So a steward is someone who is entrusted with a household on behalf of the master of the household. And again, this is a little bit, maybe a bit foreign for us, but we can imagine. Picture someone like Joseph in the Old Testament, who comes into Potiphar's household, and he ends up being entrusted with kind of the care of Potiphar's whole household. He's a steward. And kind of in a broader sense then, that idea of stewardship has not just to do with households, but with a master or someone in authority entrusting another person with some task or something that he expects that person to deal with faithfully in accordance with the master's will. And Peter's choice of this stewardship metaphor is pretty fitting, because it's one that Jesus has also used when Jesus is talking about the end or him coming again. And so in Matthew chapters 24 to 25, Jesus is talking a lot about his second coming. And when he does, he uses lots of different parables, but three of them really have to do with this idea of a trust given over to someone, and then the master is away and then comes back and says, hey, have you been faithful with the stewardship that's been given to you? The first is a story of a literal steward, a manager over a household. And Jesus says, blessed is that servant who's found faithful when the master returns. Now, the other story is about some young women who are part of a wedding party. There's a wedding happening later today. And maybe if you're a part of the party, you don't have this responsibility, but they had to get oil in the lamps, and some of them are faithful in that, and some of them are not, and then the bridegroom returns and can see which ones are the faithful. And then the last one is about some servants who are entrusted with various amounts of money to invest. And the master goes away again and then comes back and sees, hey, have they been faithful stewards? And so each of those examples kind of carry this idea of stewardship. There's this person of greater authority entrusting someone else with a task and then going away, coming back, and seeing if they've been faithful stewards. And Jesus connects those parables then to his return. He's going away, he's coming back, and in the meantime, his people are given stewardship. And he comes back and says, have you been a faithful steward? And so Peter says a similar thing. He says that we've been given gifts, but we hold them as stewards in anticipation of our master's return. We don't own these gifts. They're not ours by right. We're given stewardship over them in order that we would use them in accordance with the desires of our master in anticipation of his return. So that's the stewardship idea, and it's kind of the main image that Peter's using here. So what are these gifts that we've been given? So, you know, if you read Paul's lists, he'll give these long lists of gifts. If you read 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12 or something like this, you see all these different gifts listed. And Peter doesn't do that. He mentions kind of speaking and serving, kind of these broader categories really briefly. But he also uses this phrase. He uses the phrase, God's grace in its various forms. And I think that phrase kind of points really to the same kind of thing that Paul does, that there's this wide variety, which again, I know I've talked about, wide variety of gifts given to each of us, and these are the gifts that we could steward. And I think in some ways, because Peter's so brief in his description, I think it also kind of opens us up for an even broader picture of what the gifts are that are given to us. Because I think in the end, we kind of have to say that everything we have has been given to us. All that we are has been given to us. We're created dependent creatures. We rely on God for the air we breathe. We're fallen. We're sinful. We everything we have is God's grace to us. And furthermore, then, we've been called as ministers, as a holy people to God, and we've been given gifts to steward and to use as according to God's desire and will. So everything we have, and of course those specific things that have been given to each of us. And we're called to steward those things then. All that we are, all we've been given, steward them in accordance with the will of God. So what does that look like? What does it look like to be a faithful steward of the gifts we've been given? How are we to be good stewards of God's various graces? Peter says this. He says that being a faithful steward of God's gifts means that we serve other people with the gifts that we've been given. Be a faithful steward of God's gifts means that we serve other people with the gifts we've been given. I think that's really cool. I think that says something really neat about who God is. That what God wants us to do with the gifts he's given is actually to serve people, to serve other people. It says that God is a God who cares about other people. That the will of the one who's entrusted us with the gift, with the stewardship, is that we would serve people with it. And so in this way then, when we serve people, when we serve other people, we're serving God as well, because we're being faithful in the stewardship he's been given us. And that's not actually a new concept. That's kind of an idea that goes through the whole Bible. So if you think about Genesis 1, there's that famous line about we're created in the image of God. And then Genesis 9, though, takes that up right after the flood, and God's speaking to Noah, and he says, if someone kills a human being, then that person actually needs to die, this serious thing. But the reason he gives is, if someone kills a human being, they should die because human beings are created in the image of God. So there's this, again, it's in the negative here, but there's this idea that, hey, when we're harming people, in some way, we're harming God, or that's connected to our relationship with God. How we treat people is involved in how we treat God. And throughout the Old Testament, that same idea is really connected, especially with poor and oppressed people. God takes the side of the oppressed, and people who oppress the poor are really quarreling with God, taking up a quarrel with God. I think it's shown best maybe in Proverbs chapter 14, 31. It says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So there's, again, consistently this idea that how we treat others is actually pretty bound up with how we're treating God. And in the New Testament, Jesus takes this idea kind of in the same chapter as I was already referring to in Matthew 25, verse 40, in this parable of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus gives this illustration of a king. And he says, at the end, the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Again, Jesus is saying, how you treated these people is how you treated me. So it makes sense then that the way to be faithful stewards of the gifts God has given is to use them to serve people. Because when we're serving people, we are serving God. And this is our God. This is what he desires. Whatever he's entrusted to us, his will is that we would serve him with it by serving other people. So we're faithful stewards of the graces God has given us when we serve other people with them. But Peter also addresses how we do that, the way in which we serve other people. And it's at that point that he talks about these two categories of speaking and serving. And he says that, you know, if we speak, we should speak as if we're speaking the very words of God. And if we serve, we should do it with the strength that God provides. And that we should do this so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. In other words, being faithful stewards of God's gifts not only means carrying out his desire that we would serve other people with these gifts, but also that we would do it in such a way as to make clear who has provided the gifts. We want to represent our God and point to him. We shouldn't pretend that we're self-sufficient, shouldn't take the praise for ourselves, but instead carry out our stewardship with a consciousness that what we have is not from ourselves, but from God, and we must rely on his strength and his wisdom and give him praise. You know, I think when Peter's talking about that speaking as if we're speaking the very words of God, man, that just gives you an awe and serious, when you're doing something like I'm doing right now, a kind of awe and seriousness about, okay, when I'm serving and I'm up here, I don't want to just be saying my words. I want to say God's words and communicate those clearly. And this idea of serving with the strength God provides means I'm not relying on my own strength. I'm not just saying, yeah, I can do this. Of course I can do this. I'm saying God has given me this gift. He could take it away. I need to rely on God for this strength. And again, when we do that, when we serve in those ways, the point is that we're acknowledging our master. We're acknowledging the one who gives the gifts. And we're bringing him praise, not ourselves. So those are kind of the two big ideas. Peter calls us to be faithful stewards of what we've received by serving other people and by relying on God, giving him praise in the service we do. So I want to just kind of ask us a couple application questions just for us to go away with. And maybe these help us to think about, okay, what does this actually mean for my life? So the first question is this. Are you using what you have been given to serve other people? A few years ago, I remember God kind of challenged me on this one. And he challenged me with that story that I referenced earlier from Matthew, story of these the talents, right? The servants who received this money to invest. And the challenge was really simple. It was just to do something, you know, not just to sit on these things that we've been given, but to actually do something with, just take an action step. And I haven't lived, you know, an epic life or anything since that. But there have been a couple moments when I've been reminded of that challenge and say, you know what, I just need to do something. And, you know, it was a season of my life when I was in school, and so a lot of taking in. So it's just that challenge of, hey, I don't want to just take in. I want to do something. I want to give. I want to serve. So maybe that's a challenge for you this morning. Maybe you've felt stagnant in this area. Maybe that hasn't always been the case, but maybe it is now. And so I'd ask you, as I've asked myself, what's an action step that you can take towards being a faithful steward of God's gift? How can you start serving other people right now? Application question number one. Number two, then, is the other part. Are you serving in such a way as to bring God glory? So I know in other seasons of my life, I've been doing lots. I was in an internship for a while there, and you're just like doing ministry all day. But just because I'm doing lots, that doesn't necessarily mean that I was always doing what I was doing in the way that Peter prescribed. Not necessarily in a way that relies on and glorifies God. And I think that's a perpetual danger for any of us who are doing ministry, whether that's professionally or as a lay person. I think there's always a danger of doing it on our own strength, speaking our own words, and receiving our own praise. I love that. I think a few messages back when I spoke on the light shine, there's that distinction in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount between letting our light shine so that people would glorify the Father, or showing our good deeds before people so that they would praise us. So that's the question, right? How am I serving? I remember a leader in my life quoting Proverbs 27:21 to me once, and it says this: the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but people are tested by their praise. And he said something like, you might receive praise and kind of like, that's a test. What are you going to do with the praise? How can we serve in such a way as to direct the praise to God and not ourselves? Because to be honest, I like praise. I like being praised. I like being affirmed by people. It feels good. So I need to consciously be choosing to rely on God and to live and to serve for God's praise and not my own. So, for instance, I'm leading worship next week, which is really fun. I used to do that a lot. I love music. I've got a really excellent team of musicians and vocalists who are scheduled with me. And it's a great opportunity to have a lot of fun and to sound really good and to get a lot of compliments from you all after the service. So don't do that. Or it's an opportunity to seek to serve using the strength God provides and to sing to him first and foremost. Think about those words we're singing and to bring him praise. And I think that kind of decision is always a decision in any ministry you do, whatever it is. People could be served either way, right? You could kind of accomplish the thing either way, but how we serve people is important. We're called to serve in such a way that it brings glory to the master and not to his stewards. So, I encourage you this morning both with the practical question and with the heart and how question. What's something you can do to serve other people with the gifts God has given you and be a faithful steward? And as you serve, how can you do that in a way that relies on God and brings him all the glory? And so, again, be a faithful steward. So those are a couple questions. I encourage you to just go away with those. Let them speak to your heart, even as we're singing this morning. But let me pray to close, and then I'd invite the band to come back up. Father, you know our hearts, and you know our lives. I pray that you speak your words, just as I've endeavored to communicate your word this morning. Pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak your specific words to each heart, that you would build us up, and as you build us up, you'd empower us to build one another up in the way that you ask us to, God, to serve and to bring you praise. Pray you'd speak to us this morning and empower us that we could serve and we could all grow together in your name. Amen.